Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Moth.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, guys? Sitting in the front seat of a car in Bentonville, Arkansas with my boy, Alex Kessler.
We're back. We're on the road.
Sorry, we
missed last week's episode, mostly because of on-the-road things. I was in Hong Kong.
Yep, I was not in Hong Kong.
You were driving across the country with Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, exactly. That's
an on-the-road reference.
Yeah.
Did you have to read that in high school?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I know what you're talking about.
I spent an entire semester on that one book.
And already off the rails.
Yep. So, Masters of Modern is obviously a podcast about the game Magic the Gathering, and we talk about Modern, the format of Magic that is specifically the best one.
Talking about the best game in the world, Magic the Gathering, and of course the best format in the world, the Modern format. That would be an excerpt from the station 10 Minutes of Modern on Anchor.
Is that your opening for 10 minutes?
Man? Most of the time,
yeah.
And you guys can find it. So actually, guys, if you missed last week, some of you have keyed into the fact that there's 10 minutes of content a day now coming out, official Masters of Modern content on Anchor.fm. It's like Twitter meets podcast and free app downloaded. It's awesome. I had Corey Burkhardt on the show this week talking on a similar subject. We're going to be talking here on the show. We're going to have more and more pros coming on that show and this show. And if you want daily content to kind of keep up with what's going on, trends, check that out. That's the best way to do it. I will say, I haven't sort of shared this on here before, but what keeps the app going and growing is if you guys listen to the content through it. So even if you have, if you click the links on Facebook or whatever, just download the app and log in so that it's getting a play through the app. The more of those we get, the company's going to start letting me give away stuff. They're going to start actually doing things that I can give back to you guys for being supporters of the show. So that's my preamble about 10 Minutes of Modern, which has been a lot of fun recently. And otherwise, let's cover some of our quick shout-outs before we get into today's episode.
Yeah, you should follow, Twitter.
The MMCast.
I am at Kess Wiley.
I am at Ben Bateman Media.
You should follow us in the Facebook group. It is the best way to communicate with us and our community that's kind of built around it. It's where, there's day-to-day content explosions. We get really cool stuff going on there. I definitely recommend it.
About 2,000 people in there right now.
Yeah. Also, make sure to check out our sister podcast, The Command Zone. They are at collected.company, which is also the website you can find us if you're listening to us on iTunes or somewhere else. Go to collective.company. You can see all of our backlog. You can see all the Command Zone's backlog. They do awesome Commander content every single week. Plus, they do Game Nights, which is the crazy show they do on YouTube, where it's kind of like a reality show where they play Commander or other kind of Magic formats, and they have this whole setup. They get cool other guests on. Yeah, definitely check them out. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality is that they've exploded into the ether of Magic content now. Where Game Nights is like a straight-up show. It's like a straight-up televised show.
Right.
It's like lots of people watching. It's
right.
Awesome.
Yep.
That's really a lot of fun. Yeah, we have a Patreon. That's, the last thing.
The ability for us to be recording this right now in this car is due to the fact that we have a Patreon. That Patreon helped pay for this equipment that is mobile, and our old equipment was breaking, and we need a new one. So all that together, our patrons are the reason we are able to do this show, and we appreciate them to a great, great deal, and we would love for you to join them. Head over to patreon.com, look for the MMCast.
Absolutely. I think that pretty much wraps up everything that we like to do shout-out-wise. So let's get into the episode today. We want to do a little bit of a review of what's going on in the modern metagame at the moment. It's kind of an interesting metagame. Things have been changing around. And as we move forward towards this next Modern Pro Tour in February, it will be interesting to follow the next 3.5 months of the metagame to see now that people are safe from a banning, what are people going to commit to, what kind of archetypes are going to pop up, and how are we going to combat the big bads. So let's talk first about the fact that there was no banning. We haven't gotten to actually recap that since that happened, and I think a lot of people were very surprised. There was a few decks on people's minds. I think there was some Grixis Shadow ideas. Mox Opal was on the table for some people.
Yeah, and Wizards' basic opinion was that there's actually zero cards currently in the format that they believe are worthy to ban. And that they also believe that the Modern Pro Tour coming out in this January, February, is going to be a better testing platform to make sure there doesn't need to be any bans. And because they now have the opportunity to ban before and or after a Pro Tour, they're waiting until after the Pro Tour to ban anything, though they currently have the opinion that there is nothing worth banning. They did say, and this is the more fascinating thing, is that there are multiple or there is a card or two on the ban list that they are heavily considering unbanning, but they would like to see how the Pro Tour goes before unbanning anything.
Yeah, and we've, you know, I think we would just do a whole episode about that, except that we've had a couple episodes recently literally about bannings and unbannings.
Hashtag Free Breath Elf.
Yeah. And then, so I think,
free,
yeah.
BBE, I think is the correct hashtag.
In a nutshell, the major predictions, I did a bit on Anchor this week about it, which actually you guys can find now. It's all podcasted. It's all available on all the places you can find podcasts under 10 Minutes of Modern. But I talked about the four cards that were, you know, the most notable for unbannings and kind of rattled through them. And I do think Bloodbraid Elf's at the top of the list.
Chaz Andre recently released an article where he kind of goes over every card. And his basically the thesis statement that he had was, other than Bloodbraid Elf, every single other card has people reacting to them in one extreme or another. You know, some people think Jace can be unbanned. Some people think Jace is the worst thing that could possibly happen for Modern. Some people think Stoneforge Mystic can be unbanned. Other people think it would be terrible for the format. So, and then there's the crowd of people that just like, don't change anything. It's a perfect butterfly. We should keep it as it is. Don't mess with it. And so it's fascinating to see what they're going to end up doing. Bloodbraid Elf seems to be the obvious one. And we've talked about Stoneforge Mystic at least 10 times before. We've talked about Jace. We've talked about everything else.
It's an extremely polarizing subject. I mean, you're like you said, Preordain, and then some people have talked about the possibility of Green Sun Zenith coming off, and people have talked about... I saw a strong argument for Deathrite Shaman, which I then like spent a day talking about because it's absurd and too powerful and should not be legal in Modern.
It was funny because you released that episode, and then like the next 3 days, every single website, Magic website, had an article about how Deathrite Shaman needed to be banned out of Legacy.
Yeah, because so
it was
crazy.
Like a top... There's 32 copies of it in the top 8 of the last Legacy event.
So good.
But I think if we really want to talk about it, there's like the top four people that we get the most responses to as far as cards go, starting with Bloodbraid Elf, followed by Stoneforge Mystic, followed by Jace, followed by Splinter Twin. And Bloodbraid Elf definitely seems safe, and, you know, Deathrite Shaman, a lot of people blame for why it was banned. Stoneforge Mystic is often brought up as probably the second most likely one.
High impact cards of that nature, I wouldn't do. Like, I wouldn't unban both of those at the same time. If I was going to do something like it, I might do, like, Green Sun Zenith and Preordain. But I don't think I would do two super, super high-impact cards. I just don't think I would do those two.
I don't know. They've done two. They've done them in twos before. Actually, they've almost always done it in twos. Other than Valakut. Golgari Grave Troll and...
Bitter Blossom?
Bitter Blossom came out at the same time. Visions and Sword of the Meat came off at the same time. It's always in twos, so... That's definitely something they try to do. Partly, I think, because if they're going to unban one powerful thing, at least then there's two new things that people can be doing. And because Stoneforge Mystic and Bloodbraid Elf don't necessarily... I mean, some, you know, a Naya deck playing both of them could work out, but that's three colors that are currently... Like, a mid-range Naya deck is not seeing any play right now, so it's something that maybe they'd be worth considering, because also you have the Jund option or Junk option, and neither of those decks could play both.
A Bloodbraid Elf Stoneforge Mystic deck that was playing, like, one Batterskull, two Swords, where you could, like... You could, like, Bloodbraid Elf into a protection sword?
I just don't think they play swords. I think you just play... I think maybe they play one. But that's the ban. And then the last two is Jace. And I think Jace is more of a meme at this point. I think people ask to get unbanned Jace. Like, some people honestly do believe it, but I think other people just say it because it's funny to say.
We've never had a conversation with a pro who any of us have any respect for that has said anything other than that would be the worst possible thing that could ever happen to Modern. And look, I've seen the logical arguments against it, guys. I've seen it. I understand it. You know, like, it's true. It's a mid-range 4-drop. Like, mid-range 4-drops in Modern are a tall order, so it would definitely shift the control decks to, like, a very grind. But, like, it's so good. The card does everything.
Right. I just think it's on... We don't need to get in a 100th conversation about why Jay shouldn't be unbanned. And then the last one was Splinter Twin. I think that's more emotional than anything else. I'm with everyone. I had Splinter Twin when it was banned, and it sucked, but... I think the format is just significantly healthier and better without that combo in the format.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I don't think Wizards is currently willing to unban that. I think their Bloodbraid Elf is a lock, and Stoneforge Mystic is a card that they are probably heavily looking at.
Stoneforge Mystic or Splinter Twin is... I loved the days that Splinter Twin was legal. I had a conversation with someone about this, my friend Lucas, who incidentally was somebody that I knew in high school, fell out of touch with for years, was in a wedding with me last weekend, and listens to our show.
Okay.
He, like, didn't play Magic back then, got into Magic in the last five years.
Oh, now listens to the show?
Brought his Grixis deck to the wedding as one of the groomsmen, hoping that I was going to bring a deck. Told me to bring one, and, like, legitimately, like, had a fan-out moment with me. We're talking about our Chapin interview. which was the coolest thing.
Nice.
He was like, it's one of the best interviews. I had a cool question. So, Lucas, if you're listening to the show, I don't know if you are, but big shout out to you, buddy. It's good to see you. So, anyway, I think the thing with Splinter Twin is that, because I said to him, I kind of wanted Splinter Twin to come back. And he said, no, it's such a healthier format now. And if you analyze the information in Modern and you're somebody who discusses it a lot like we do, you're not just like a local FNM player or something. Like, neither Alex nor myself are actively taking steps right now to qualify for a Pro Tour playing the Modern format. We play Modern. We enjoy it. We talk about it. And that's our frame of reference. And the thing about that is it's easier to understand information when there's a baseline card like Splinter Twin in the format. That's why, in my mind, those days were easier to wrap my head around, because you could kind of use it as a measuring stick for the rest of the format. We don't have a measuring stick anymore. So it's way harder to kind of keep a wrap on what's going on in Modern now. You have to
that's a feature, not a bug. I mean, I also think we're a long way away.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I'm saying from the point of view of somebody who is an analyst, you and I are basically analysts of a sport.
Sure.
And if there is one dominant team like the Warriors in basketball right now, it's a lot easier to measure every single other team, because it's like, well, are they good enough to beat the Warriors? If they're not good enough to beat the Warriors, then I don't really care.
Right.
And that's when you lose that, it becomes much more of an open playing field. There's a lot more conversation, and it's harder to have a strong opinion you believe in. That's the difference.
It's very easy for me to believe in my strong opinion. But I would say that we are a long way away from Wizards unbanning cards that they've put onto the ban list anywhere. Like, I think Bloodbraid Elf will be the first to see an unbanning that they put on since
Troll?
The format existed.
Oh, you're saying that they ban and then they unban during the
ban. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and I would say everything pre-Bloodbraid Elf doesn't count in the... That's not really... That's, like, the beginning of the Modern format to me. All the, like... If they unban...
Blazing Shoal?
Green Sun Zenith or Blazing Shoal, like, fine. That I don't think that counts as... since the beginning of the Modern format. I know it technically does, but that's like a weird Wild West where nothing really existed yet, and it was still kind of like, what is this supposed to look like?
I do wonder sometimes if what would happen if they did a complete and total unban everything move, and just we're going to do this for one calendar year for 6 months, and then we're going
to
reset the ban
list. I'd be
interested
to see a Pro Tour with no ban list. I also believe that it would just be mental misstep.
Well, it was like the Community Cup, and you saw those major unfair...
But they had a ban list. They had 10 cards on the ban list.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
than that because of the Infinity Lands, but like... Yeah.
What are the... Okay, we're just digressing from our subject.
So back to the conversation of cool tournaments that happened.
Yes, I do want to talk about that, but it's okay because this is a subject that people have been talking about, so I think it's okay for us to finish it out. Just on that topic really quickly, what cards exist on that banned list that even if you were going to do an unban everything type of tournament, what are the cards that you know in your heart are like, that just can't be legal? It's just...
We did this as an episode. We did a whole episode about this.
The five
cards that we would, like, even in a no-ban list Modern, we would not ban. Mental Misstep was my number one. Mental Misstep was your number one. The big miss we had was Dark Depths. We had, like, I think I had it higher. Enter a creature under the battlefield, draw a card, and it's Dark Depths. That's, like, one of the five easy. But, yeah, no. I think, like...
Skull Clamp.
Skull Clamp. We've had this conversation.
Okay.
The reason I'm trying to, like, actually, and as much as I love talking about this, jump off the band conversations, we do this conversation a lot, and we understand that. So let's move on to the tournament results of the last week, where the Modern format is right now, how wacky it is that we have blue-green merfolk 2 weekends in a row.
So sick.
And by wacky, I mean just amazing.
I'm so happy that when we did our set review, like, I was, like, so hot on blue-green merfolk, and I definitely
you realize
put...
we haven't done our set review yet?
What?
We've done some, like, conversations about it on Anchor, but we haven't done it in the podcast.
Yeah, that's not true.
Look it up.
Are you 100% we haven't done our set review?
I'm 80%. I'm willing to look it up now, but let's talk about...
Because I remember talking about Branchwalker and the blue-green merfolk
deck. Yeah, because we did that on 10 Minutes of Magic.
Oh, crap. You're right. We never did a set review?
I don't think we did.
That's what happens when you launch a toy company, Alex.
I know. I apologize to everyone. We will come out with a set review. It's cool. We get to see more now. The Pro Tour hasn't happened yet, so I don't feel bad.
Hashtag priorities.
As long as the Pro Tour is not this weekend, which is not. Yeah. World Championships happen, though.
Yeah, that's true.
We have time.
Yeah, but the World Championships had nothing to do with Modern, right?
No.
Yeah.
Neither does the Pro Tour.
I was so bummed. I was like, I was doing
I
something.
Like, we have until Pro Tour Ixalan happens to have our set.
I like read about the World Championships. I didn't watch them. And I like was doing something else that weekend. I can't remember what it was. Maybe I was in Seattle for a wedding or something. But whatever it was, I checked Sunday. I was like, oh, yeah, this has been going on all weekend. Like, crazy. And then I was like, is there Modern in this? And I was scrolling through and I was like, ah.
No, there's not.
I don't have the patience. I was like, if there was, I was like, if there was modern,
it was
here,
cool
I'd have heard about
it. It was seeing the standard format a little bit new, and energy did really well.
Just have a hard time carrying that standard, man.
Yep.
So anyway, blue green merfolk, one of the decks that is in the top eight of this past weekend's SCG, as well as it was a top eight deck in the previous SCG, and I think that it
wins. At least the previous SCG since we did our last episode.
Yeah. And so that's really cool because we had conversations about blue-green merfolk and what we thought Branchwalker and Commander Speaker were going to do for the deck.
You were kind of down on it. You know what's interesting? Collected Company is not a big part of the deck. That's like the big thing we like didn't really kind of consider was just like the merfolk would be good without the Collected Company edition. And it makes sense. I forget who was talking about it, but blue... one of the powers of Collecting Company is when it gets three drops, you're up on mana. You're getting a cheat on at least one of your spells. In Merfolk, it's pretty much only getting two drops, so you're not really getting that big of an up. Plus, you have four Spraying Seas, four Aether Vial, plus removal spells like Dismember. So, like...
That version, the list you're talking about, the one that just came out, that's literally every spell in the deck is four Vial, two Dismember, and four Spreading Seas.
Correct.
Previous versions played, like, two copies of Spell Pierce, like, a couple other spells... I think I've seen some lists that
but
have snags
it's
in them.
It's still mostly two drops. You have right. maybe three drops in the whole deck. So Collected Company is never going to get you a net positive. It's more often just going to get you a net neutral or worse.
And that's because the two cards that got added to the deck that really make it awesome are a one drop and a two drop. So unless this current list cut Curse Catcher, I'm pretty sure the previous one was playing it. This one did.
The first one had two, I believe.
Yeah, and then Branchwalker is effectively Silvergill 5-8. So that's the biggest thing the deck got. The 2-2 for one's good. It is really good, especially because you're playing this great, you know, like it's going to be a 3-3 on turn 2 attacking. So it's Nacatl in your deck for the most part, but it's the 3-2 for 2 that's going to be a 4-3 very often by the time you're attacking, or it's going to be a 3-2 that drew you a card that is really the thing that makes a difference because Silvergill off of Vial or just Silvergill in general is one of the best things that deck does. And the fact that you have eight of them now is, like, just crazy.
Right, right.
Very good. So
beyond that, the more exciting thing to me, personally...
Is the winning deck?
Is humans. Yeah. Five-color humans. That's sweet.
Five-color Ancient Ziggurat, guys. It's playing...
It has three four-ofs of gold lands.
It plays four Ziggurat, four Cavern of Souls, and four of the new one, whatever it's called. That what's that new card called?
I'm opening the list. It's Unclaimed Territory.
Unclaimed Territory. I was going to call it.
Because then the tribe claims it, and they're like, this is my territory.
I was going to call it Temple of Territory. That's not a real name. So it plays the 12 gold lands, which is sick.
Why would you worship territory? We're a people that worships the game Risk.
The wildest part about this deck, though, is that it plays four Aether Vial and no other spells. 36 creatures.
That's how Ancient Ziggurat works.
It's doing literally all of its damage in the entire deck off of just creatures with effects.
Kite Sail Freebooter is your Thoughtseize. You got Meddling Mage as a pseudo secondary removal spell. The Thalias do their thing. You have Reflector Mage as a bounce spell. The deck, it's surprising how many humans do something.
It's playing three copies of Mare of Averbrook, which previous humans list had eschewed, which I was so bummed about because, like, the fact that a deck just won a major tournament playing three copies of Mare makes me so happy.
You know
how much I love that card.
Wait, you like Mare of Averbrook?
You're teasing me.
How often do you think they let it flip?
Virtually never.
Okay, you think then the werewolf tokens every turn is worse than just getting the human lord?
I think it's the kind of thing that if it's on the battlefield and you run out of cards or something like that, you draw a land and it flips. Like, you're not pissed about it because, like, whatever. You'll get a creature out of it. But I think in general, it's just, like, a pretty high-impact lord that does something cool for you.
Right. I think what's interesting about this deck, too, is, like, it has really three human tribal cards. It has Champion of the Parish, Mayor of Averbrook, and Thalia's Lieutenant, one of which they're only playing three of, Mayor. And everything else is just kind of humans, but because you're playing all humans, the other main tribal thing is you get to play five color.
Right.
By having the splash ability, like the power level you're getting for tribal reasons beyond just the three lords is really taken to the next level by just being able to play with those two tribal lands.
I think this is a direct response to the metagame in a couple different ways. I think this is the best thing that you can do as a creature deck to beat Storm, first of all. That's the first thing that stands out to me here, because you're playing four copies of Thalia. You're making sure you don't have any spells in your deck, aside from your Aether Vials, to actually screw up. So now you can just get away with four Thalia. You're playing four Kitesail Freebooter, which gets every relevant card out of Storm. And you're playing Meddling Mage to go double down when you Kitesail them, and then you slam a Meddling Mage. So now, like, you've taken their spell, and you've made it so they can't play their most important card. And to me, this is what the metagame is shifting towards, which is why we're going to talk about the fact there's 16 copies of Aether Vial decks, creature-driven Aether Vial decks, in the top eight here. And what it is people realizing, okay, I need a way to disrupt my opponent's strategy and set a clock at the same time. The best way to do that is to go tons and tons and tons of 1, 2, and 3 drops, like Merfolk. And Merfolk's the only deck we've seen that's doing this in a prominent way for a long time. Like, that's been the deck that does this.
Right.
But now they've got more ability to disrupt their opponent. They've got, like, a whole extra level of things they can do with this deck.
No, and this deck does look very Merfolk-y. You know, you have two different two-mana lords that pump everything for four. You have top-end spells that kind of go off. You have, you know, Noble Hierarch makes it so it's a little bit angled toward three drops, but Champion of the Parish plays very much like a... Like, there's a lot of things going on here that feel like, oh, I'm bashing you while I slow you down just enough. Thalia is basically a Spreading Seas.
Yeah, and I think the Merfolk deck has been classically very, very good at doing a couple things. One of them is screwing up your land and giving yourselves unblockability with all your lords. And the second one is playing a tempo game of getting to Vapor, you know, Vapor Snag, Dismember, Harbinger of the Tides, Tidebinder Mage, kind of slow down creature decks. But when the big bad that's been going on right now is not a creature deck, you don't care as much about that. You just want to disrupt their spells, which is why this is a great choice. And this is, I think, an interesting direction. So let's call the top eight what it is. You've got this deck, Green Blue Merfolk, you have an Eldrazi in Taxes, and you have a Death in Taxes. So all of those decks are taking advantage of similar effects here.
Right.
Low curve, not playing as many lands, instant speed, enter the battlefield triggers, getting a threat with your ability.
Right.
There are other four decks in the top eight were a gifts deck, a Counters Company deck, an Affinity deck, and an Infect deck.
And the gifts deck is Storm.
Yeah, sorry.
We don't need to...
I meant gifts Storm.
But, yeah. But Infect is also a Storm deck, so...
Kind of.
Yeah, I know. It was a joke.
It was a bad joke.
Whoa. Shots fired. What's interesting is that if you also look at the other SCG Modern Classic from that weekend, you have a completely different top eight. So you have two Affinity lists, one Burn, one Mardu, one Green-Red Devotion, another Infect, and two Eldrazi Tron. So Infect's back, baby. We got, you know, Phyrexian's armies.
It's back enough. What I think is really interesting about the Infect decks being back is that people talk about what happens to a deck when you ban a card, right? So, like, okay, let's just say, for instance, you were to ban Mox Opal from Affinity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Affinity gets, I don't know, 25% worse for that Mox Opal. Like, it ceases to be a shot out of a cannon and can kill you out of nowhere deck. However, it's still playing.
I think it can still do that, but I think it just has become much worse.
It's just still playing a lot of really good cards together that have a lot of synergy. It's just not quite as fast, right? And maybe people experiment with things. Maybe people try playing Simeon Spirit Guides in the deck or something, see what happens. Who knows, right? Point is, I think it's interesting when you see a deck get shot like this, you know, it loses Probe, and then come back a little while later when people realize, sure, it's a little more fair, but it's still doing the same thing, which is like kind of just playing like a Splinter Twin game. It's still just it's biding its time, waiting for its moment.
What is interesting is how different the two lists are.
Yeah.
Like, one is very much, it has two Jace, but, like, it basically replaced its Gitaxian Probes with Jace, and just, like, kind of has the exact same
Vryn's
game
Prodigy.
Plan. Vryn's Prodigy. And that was the one piloted by Emma Handy. This one by Kenyon Collins.
This one plays a very standard.
It's got, like, two Spellskite in the main. It's got, like, it's got a Viridian Corruptor in the main. It's doing a little bit more wackier things. Apostle's Blessing. Only one Mutagenic Growth versus the other one that had four.
It's got a copy of Blossoming Defense, spoiled by the MM cast.
It does have four copies of Blossoming Defense.
In the main deck?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
So, like, two Rancor, one Wild Defiance in the main. So, like, kind of two different attacks at the same deck archetype, and I think it definitely means that there's potential for this deck to just become a thing again.
It's, I mean, look, it's one of those things. It's doing something that is it can kill you on the fourth turn of the game still quite easily. It's just not as consistent.
Right.
So, anyway, but so that's Affinity, or sorry, that's Infect, shows up. Let's talk, you know, the Counters Company list that showed up is pretty much like what we've seen from Counters Company.
Right.
There's not much to it. It's really good. It's the slightly less good version of Birthing Pod decks from a few years ago, which is what it's really become with that deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, this is definitely the infinite mana, like, yeah, it's fine. It's a good deck. It plays a lot of good creatures, and it can kill you. It plays townships, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It can, yeah, I mean, this is one of those decks that's, like, unsurprising. You know,
great.
Let's talk a little bit about Eldrazi and Taxes and Death and Taxes before we cover the Storm deck, because
okay. You
and I haven't really gotten to, on here, talk about the Storm deck that much. There's a lot of discussion on Anchor about it.
Sure.
Like, I talked about it for a couple days, and I had interviews with people, but you and I haven't really gotten to react to Storm coming back in this big of a way. Talk about why and what it's going to mean for this Pro Tour. So, Eldrazi and Taxes, as well as Death and Taxes, both utilizing Aether Vial, both doing the same thing, right?
Right.
Death and Taxes, we've seen a lot of. That's a deck that's been around.
Using Aether Vial and Thalia, right?
Yep.
Both of them play
full
comp. Of this top eight, three of the decks had four Thalia, four Aether Vial.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really good against some of the more degenerate decks in the format. You know, it shuts down spell-based combo decks. It shuts down...
Storm.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it makes the tutors in Counters Company less good.
Sure, it makes Infect way worse. Because it makes their spells more expensive, and then she can block... And because of first strike damage, they have to pump before damage is dealt, and it gives you an opportunity to kill their creature before Thalia.
It makes Ad Nauseam worse. It makes all the Izzet decks. It makes Jeskai decks doesn't make them that much worse. They have lots of removal, but it does make them worse. It slows them down.
Sure,
they have to spend, you know, a full turn to get rid of your Thalia and then ramp you while doing it or something like that. So. Mm-hmm. And then the Eldrazi and Taxes deck, which, you know, is playing Aether Vial, and the card that I just keep going on record and I just keep getting in arguments with people about, and I got to ask Corey about this on Anchor, I think Eldrazi Temple is going to get banned. I just think it is.
It's not. We have time. I mean, Eldrazi would have to be more significant than they are now, which would be surprising for that to happen.
I just don't think people will stop playing those cards, and I also don't think that I think that they'll still be perfectly playable. There's still a version of that deck.
Are you saying it'll be banned by the end of the Pro Tour? Or are you saying it'll be banned sometime in the future of life?
Sometime in the future of life, because I think the bannings after the Pro Tour are going to relate to Storm, I'm pretty sure. But the bannings in life will relate to Eldrazi Temple, because I just think that that's going to be a thing consistently for long enough. I'm just telling you, Wizards doesn't want to have Soul Lands. They just don't want that to be a thing. It's when you have to play multiple copies of a legendary artifact.
No. In the long run of the universe, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying in the short run of by the end of March, it'll be banned. I think I would be surprised.
It's just the opportunity cost
to dominate the Pro Tour.
It's a land. It's just a regular land
right.
that happens to be exceptionally good with certain powerful cards.
I think the Pro Tour is going to dictate more. The Pro Tour will dictate more what could or could not be banned in Modern than any other thing that could happen until then.
Fair enough. So...
And you know, it might be Eldrazi. It might be Storm. It might be Infect again. You know, there are random things that pros will... Because they will do their best to break what the format is right now. And...
Seriously, can't wait.
And when they do it, Wizards has basically said that they're ready to, just in case they break it, have an unban ready to... mix the format up while also banning things.
Okay, so let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is...
The Modern Pro Tour.
The Storm deck.
The Thought Knot Seer.
Let's talk about the Storm.
Grape Shot.
Nope.
You got it. Got you. Yes. That was great. That worked out way better than I expected.
Yeah, it was clever. So isn't it great when you tell someone something's clever? Because it means it's not really clever.
By you then saying that afterwards, okay, we don't need the tangent extra level metagame of us insulting each other.
You don't need to be rubber, and I don't need to be glue, okay?
Nice
so,
one.
Yeah.
Second grade status, schoolyard.
All right, shut up. Let's talk about Storm. So Corey's opinion on this was that, you know, for the last couple months that he's been paying attention and testing, it's pretty clearly just the best deck.
Okay.
And... I did a thing already that I shared on our group about what made Storm pop back up like this, because it did seemingly come out of nowhere. like Baral's been legal for a while. That was an Opt recently got printed, but before Opt was printed, like Baral was out there, and this deck was already dominating.
I think Opt is important. I think that Storm is a very difficult deck, and the harder the deck is, the harder the time it takes for people to get good enough to pay attention to be able to do well with it is. I also think that pros weren't focusing too hard on Modern until, you know, the RPTQ, Modern RPTQs are this weekend. So, like, there's a little bit more focus on these than there was previously during the PPTQ season for it, necessarily. And the better players that will be playing it are now focusing on it. The other thing is, and back on that difficulty, like, you know, there is an argument to be made that Birthing Pod decks were the best deck in Modern since the beginning that Modern was created. It was just always the best card in the format. But it was so difficult to, A, find the right list and then find players that were good with that list. That deck might have also been one of the hardest decks to ever exist in Modern, because so much of it is when you have 17 options every turn, making sure you find the right one to guarantee a win. It's like, it's a deck that you will win every single time if you have Birthing Pod, but not every player is going to be able to play to that win.
Right.
And Splinter and Storm classically is also like that. A Storm player that's good knows, how many spells do I need? Should I be firing off a ritual into a Gifts on turn two or turn three? You know, wasting one of my rituals just the Gifts at end of turn so that I can set my next turn off the win. Like, there's a lot of intricate play you do with Storm. But I'll tell you one thing. If a player rituals into Gifts Ungiven, I am significantly more terrified of them than the reverse.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what happened to push this into the territory that it is right now, which is the boogeyman, right? The monster in the room. And I think, to be quite brief about it, what I think you were looking at was Goblin Electromancer was the card that, when it was originally printed, added what this deck needed to combat the loss of Seething Song. It was originally the card that, when it came out, people were like, sure, oh, you know what, I think we can probably do this because this card now exists in our colors, and let's try to make this work.
Sure.
That happened for a while. People played it well. Baral gets printed, and all of a sudden it goes from, okay, I get this card some of the time, and I can play this way some of the time, to I'm going to have a turn two accelerant most of the time.
Right.
Most of the time. And then it became a thing of, well, okay, if you're almost always going to be able to cast something for four on turn three, what's the best possible card we can be doing in this deck that does exactly what we want?
Intuition.
And then it becomes, okay, what does this deck want to do? Well, it wants to generate value in its mana and its card draw, which is like what you're doing when you mana morphose into things with an accelerant. And it wants to put cards in its graveyard and its hand. Well, Gifts Ungiven does literally all of those things.
Right. I mean, and when we were working with, and Gifts has been kind of on and off in Storm forever. When we were working with the marketing company we worked with for that little bit, one of the guys who was running it had a Storm deck that he played at GPLA with Gifts Ungiven inside of it. So it's something that's always been around. It's just, it's finally come to a head where they've realized, oh, this is the best thing you can be doing. I also think that, and it's interesting, people keep pointing at Baral as like, oh, we need to get rid of Baral. Wizards prints all spells and instants cost one less card every other year.
Like, that's not the card you ban.
I think at this point, and if you look at how many cards are on the ban list, kind of how Deathrite Shaman got Bloodbraid Elf banned, Grapeshot needs to go. If I were to ban something out of the deck, I don't think it kills the deck. You have Aether Flux Reservoir. You have
Empty the Warrens.
You have Empty the Warrens. So and those are both cards that interact in Modern on a keel that is more on board with what it's doing. It's not on the stack play. You can't top deck one of those to just win. Like you could go off in Storm just assuming you're going to get a Grapeshot. And if I like Thought Seize your Grapeshot out of your hand, you could still get to Grapeshot. If I destroy an artifact that you have, it's harder, and artifact destruction is more common than counterspells. If you make a bunch of tokens, I have next turn to play Pyroclasm. Like, I can name 1,000 effects that do one damage or more to every creature your opponent controls.
You might be right. Yeah, I think Grapeshot's probably the card that, you know, if this does well like we think it's going to do with the Pro Tour, that's probably the easiest one to cut, because I don't think any of the, even if you ban Gifts Ungiven, which, like, that would be the other argument, is you could ban Gifts or you could ban Pass and Flames.
I think
Pass and Flames kills the deck.
I don't think anything could ever kill Storm. I think that's not possible.
Passing Flame is a very unique card. There's
sure, but there are Storm decks before Passing. Like I'm currently playing, or I was in previous. I haven't played Standard since the rotation, I guess. But before previous rotation, I was able to put together a deck that won using Aetherflux Reservoir in Standard using Storm. So Cheerios decks exist. Like there's just other decks that are out there that will take advantage of Storm in any way. I'm not saying this version of the red version with rituals, but even then, I can imagine there's just other effects that will make it survive. Passive Flames does hurt the deck in a much more significant way. The problem with Passive Flames is that something could be printed any day now that does something enough similar that, I don't think Wizards is going to avoid ever printing a card that makes Storm work.
Whereas
Epic Experiment.
They are never, ever, ever going to print Storm ever again.
Right, and Grapeshot, and the issue with Grapeshot is there's no way to interact with it. There's no real way to interact with Grapeshot in the format. Can't Thoughtseize it, because if you do, they have ways to get it out of the graveyard or ways to draw to more Grapeshots. The way they go off is they draw a bunch of cards the turn they're going off, so they can draw on the new effects anyway. So any discard effect, they could just draw onto the card they need with a well-placed opt or whatever. Or whatever other new cantrip playing. Sleight of hand. The counter magic in Modern isn't good enough, and there's not a stifle effect that's really sees play, so you're not even interacting on the stack. So making them play Storm cards that force them to play in the space that everyone else is playing in, even if they do it on their turn, means more to me than and makes the deck a more beneficial member of the Modern community than it currently has and always kind of falls back into. They're always going to print cards that make Storm good. It's like Affinity. There's just anytime they print an artifact, it's like, oh, does this work in Affinity? And sometimes it does.
Right. Totally. So I think we both can kind of agree this does seem to be the deck to beat, which is, I think, where you have all of these decks that popped up, all of these Vile decks, these aggressive creature decks, trying to take advantage of mana and making it hard to cast spells with.
Right.
That's what's going on. Do you believe that we are seeing a shift, like a paradigm shift in Modern, where it's going to be dominated by creature decks and these spell decks are going to get less and less prominent? Or do you think it's just a metagame shift right now, a small one?
I think a bunch of people saw Storm win last week. I think because of that, a bunch of people decided to play Storm and a bunch of people decided to play Thalia. And the people that played Thalia were benefited from it. One person who played Storm also obviously benefited enough by knowing what they were doing. And it was a large enough of a field, and it is probably the best deck in the format, especially if Corey says so.
He's very smart.
And so when you look at it from that level, you're just kind of dealing with a world of these cards. People play creature decks. But the one thing that's really cool about Modern right now is it keeps swinging back and forth. There is a pendulum that goes back and forth every week. 3 weeks ago we were talking about, or 4 months ago, with no cards really being banned, just some new cards being added, Affinity was the best deck in the format. Merfolk was a bad deck this summer.
We haven't
2 weeks where they've top eighted because they got new cards.
We haven't even said the two words Grixis Shadow in this whole episode. That's
right,
like
right.
That
and,
should
and
be an 6 indicator.
6 months ago, people were like, oh my god, we need to ban Grixis
Shadow. 3 months ago. It was 3 months. Six months.
And I would still argue black is the best color in the format. It's going to swing back and forth. Eldrazi Tron, you in this episode have gone from saying it was the best deck that needs a card ban to Storm needs a card ban instead.
I'm never one to say I think decks need card bans. I'm not someone who thinks they need card bans. What I will say is things I believe they will ban things. That's different. I'm not actually somebody who really likes bannings or unbannings for the most part. I
agree with you on bannings. Though I do like saying what could be banned or unbanned. I disagree with you on unbannings.
Okay, you like those.
I don't like, even Golgari Grave Troll was fine. The fact that they had to reban it eventually, that had more to do with them printing a bunch of graveyard cards that made it better, not because it was too powerful at the time of it. When it was unbanned, it didn't see any play for a year and a half.
It's true.
So I think a lot of the cards that were put on the ban list at the beginning of Modern, which we've already discussed this episode, is everything up to Broodblade Elf being banned, were put there in a different time or a different period or without ever actually existing in the format. And so far, almost every single time we've unbanned one, they've done nothing.
Little to nothing, yeah.
Or if they've done nothing, and then sometimes they're good. Valakut, was bad and good and goes back and forth, and it's always been a good card. Great. Bitter Blossom has done nothing.
Yeah.
Ancestral Visions sees play. But not a dominant way, not in any way that I think is problematic. We have Sword of the Meek hasn't top eighted.
Yeah.
Since it was unbanned. I think Bitter Blossom has been in a top eight. I don't think, I don't know of a sort of, someone please on the internet send us a link of a top eighting.
What?
Sword of the Meek deck.
Oh, yeah. That's not a thing.
So, like, as far as unbanning go, like, and maybe they've just been doing a good job and they've picked the right cards, but I also think there's just other cards. I think Stoneforge Mystic can come off tomorrow and it may be too good, but at worst it's going to be as good as Snapcaster Mage, which is the best blue card in the format, arguably, probably, but...
Best creature in the format.
Is it a creature?
Yes.
Yeah, technically. Yeah. Okay.
It is a creature.
What about Spellskite?
Oh, so sad.
Two main deck Spellskite made a pro.
I saw that. Somebody on our Facebook group just asked today, what's the deal with Spellskite's price and prominence being so far down? I thought it was a removal-heavy format. Like...
But what are you removing? It's a removal heavy format that's just it's clearing away, and it's not about. It's like the decks that are playing a lot of removal want to go one for one. And
look, when Splinter Twin got banned, Spellskite just became so much less good.
Yeah,
and it was the best.
Though no, with Infect still around, it was holding around. But when Splinter Twin and then like a year and a half later, Infect both got taken out.
Yeah,
it was just it's the two decks it preyed upon. Of the three prominent decks it preyed upon, the two good ones got banned. The other one, Boggles.
Yep.
Not Noggles.
Nice.
For all
Look
people that might be wrong, confused. Boggles, the green-white enchantment deck, is not a real deck all the time.
Yes. The other question and comment that I have for you is that we did not talk about perhaps the sickest creature in all of humans. And that's the fact that they're playing Mantis Rider. They're playing Mantis
Rider.
It's a human.
Not realize that. I knew it was a monk.
It's Lightning Angel Light, and it's sick.
It's pretty light.
Yeah. Well, Lightning Angel's a 3/4. Is
I'm like, angels are heavy. And
Lightning Angel's the same card, except it's a 3/4/4, and this is a 3/3/3. Is that what it is? Yeah. Which is like would have been super, super notable in Modern for a long time. Except
it was, which is why this didn't see play. But then now that...
Yeah, now that Bolt's just not that card anymore. It's like...
And Bolt is still really important to the format, but it's just not what it was.
It's not in like,
A correction on last week's episode, because we literally went from last week being like red is at the bottom of the heap, and then now we're like, and Storm's too good.
Sure.
We forgot about Storm. I'll admit it right now.
I mean, look, 2 weeks ago it was not the elephant in the room that it is.
Like, sure, because it won two SCG events, or like top eighted, or
did
one.
Well,
it did well
it
2 weeks in a row.
There's just been
Three
a lot of chatter. There's just been a lot of chatter around the last
but
few weeks.
We definitely, we'll admit that I probably would have put red one rung higher than I did.
Just because of Storm.
Because of the Storm cards in general.
Yeah. It's funny rituals. That Time Spiral brought us those two Storm cards we're talking about, and like it didn't seem like most of the Storm cards they printed in Time Spiral sucked. They were almost all bad.
Yeah, because there's only two threats.
Yeah, but they printed
Storm
two.
Cards that matter are the ones. Oh, no, no. Oh, the third one. Oh, we didn't even talk about it. Oh, man, Dragon Storm. get ready. that's the one that I also hope happens. Like that's like if Storm is Dragon Storm, Aetherflux Reservoir, and Empty the Warrens are like the conditions it has to use. Like, I think we're in a way sweeter place.
I wish Dragon Storm in Modern was a thing. I wish that was like people have played.
I think you got rid of Grape Shot. Dragon Storm could be a thing. I don't know why it wouldn't be. There's a dragon that when it enters the battlefield, all dragons in play do damage. Like, there's like enough things to make that tribal work, and
you could just do it.
You just do it and then play Thunder My Hellkites that just like also are really good. But like. Yeah, I think there's enough to not have Grape Shot. I don't know why Grape Shot's there. It's inherently a hard thing to interact with that just like makes it not as fun, and other storm effects are just going to be way sweeter. And the thing I like touched on it briefly, but we kind of got distracted. Epic Experiment is what replaces the
Gifts and Given.
No. The graveyard refill
card. Oh. Pass the Flames.
Pass the Flames.
One thing I do want to point out, speaking of sick...
Not nearly as good for everyone who's now getting ready to tweet me that Epic Experiment is nowhere as close, but, like...
The other thing I want to point out that is from the Time Spiral era that is super, super sweet...
Is it Chronozoa?
Well, it's reference to the fact that the Chronozoa deck that we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that you were such a hater on, I got, like, dozens and dozens of comments and messages and call-ins on the show about how sweet of an idea it was and how excited people were to try to build the Solemnity deck.
That's because my Haterade fosters alliances between you and other people.
People were excited about the idea of using Chronozoa, which...
Nothing brings people together like Haterade.
Nothing brings people together like my stupid deck ideas. I've been working on my Scrib Ranger Grand Architect one, by the way.
I'm all about Scrib Ranger and Grand Architect.
Do you want to do a 3-minute deck tech? I got it on my phone right now.
No. I think that this episode is now...
This episode is now null and void because
Scrib Ranger. This episode. We're re-recording this whole thing, and I'm going to make this joke at the end of the next one, and it'll be confusing.
My literal favorite thing that happened with that idea was that I posted a thing on Twitter that was like, can't believe I missed the interaction with these two cards. And like several people were like, I don't get it. What does it do? And you're like, makes mana? And they're like, I thought I had missed something. Never mind.
Well, it's just Scrib Ranger does a net neutral with Grand Architect.
It's like so bad.
It's basically a blue creature in a Grand Architect deck.
It's actually...
Better with other cards, and it's way better with...
The two drops.
It's way better with the two... Like, it works better with the parts of Grand Architect that were always a little clunkier, and so making them better is better, and it also works better with Improvise and the other one, Convoke.
Yeah, what it's really better with is it makes the two Veteran Weaponsmith, whatever that card's called, the 1/3, basically there's like the one, there's the 1/3
all artifacts out Convoke.
No. There's the Dalkan Engineer, which is the 1/1 for 2 that taps for 2 of any color to cast artifacts and activated abilities, and then there was the Veteran Weaponsmith, the one that searches for Vile Dragonheart or whatever and it also taps to add 2. So you have the 1/3 and the 1/1 both for 2 that tap for 2.
It makes those better. It also makes the Convoke guy better because now you get it taps for 2 mana. To do for a Convoke off of one creature.
Oh, sure. Right.
Because you untap one, yeah, it taps itself, so you get 2 taps out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And so, which also means that, like, if you have an artifact in play, it can use that artifact to tap for improvised spells, so even the one that gives all cards improvise.
That's clever.
There's stuff that's going on here.
That's clever.
A lot of cards that worked together almost as good get better with Scrib Ranger in the deck, and it doesn't make Grand Architect worse, which is generally what the case is with these situations.
Scrib Ranger with the two mana accelerants gets you 5 mana on turn 3, which is what the deck is trying, and it's trying to play like swords and things like that to cast those things and attack. And so, I made the list. It's fine. It's banned. It's not. It's like I've done it on my phone a couple times. It seems fun. It doesn't seem like actually very good, but it seems like it's fun.
Sure.
So, yeah.
All right, there's your 3-minute deck tech.
I just snuck that one in there. Snuck it in.
This has been a sneaky episode. A lot of tricks. A lot of tricks of the trade.
So, yeah, I think that pretty much, recaps kind of where we're at with Modern. The metagame.
Yeah, moral of the story is play Mindbreak Trap.
Yeah, sick. yeah, guys, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for being patient and giving us that week off. We are definitely 100% going to be trying our damnedest to give you guys more consistent content.
There are two extremely busy seasons for us work-wise, and this is just one of those two, and we are going to do our better one. This is an accidental one. Normally, spring-summer is the time we're traveling the most, and so we planned ahead of that time and pre-recorded episodes, and even then we missed stuff. This one, we kind of got hit from left field on how busy it's ended up being. Which is a good thing. It's just people are more excited about what we're doing in the fall than we thought they were, so we just have to kind of catch up.
Yes, exactly.
On that note, you should go to thinkgeek.com right now and search Emergent Genesis. That is the game that Brian David Marshall made. He was on the episode a year and a half ago talking about it when he was kickstarting it. It's now at ThinkGeek. We helped get him on there, so buy some. It's a superhero game, deck-building game, so you're kind of building your own superhero Harry Potter style. Make sure to check out the Collected.company website. We talked about it before. Command Zone's there. We're there. Great stuff is there. Make sure to check out the Facebook. We do want to make one announcement in regards to the Facebook. There has been a huge growth in the community, and because we're so busy and because people have just become really good community members, it's definitely become apparent that we need community moderators. And so Hagen Kirk, who you've heard us talk about before, he's done the data dump every week to talk about kind of showing what kind of data has been happening during the weekend for different modern tournaments already, has agreed to work with us to be the moderator. So we're announcing he's the official first Masters of Modern Facebook group moderator. He had, with great power comes great responsibility.
He's been killing it. He's definitely been really on top of it. Like, it's been a nice breath of fresh air to have support from someone in the community who's giving us statistical information that we're able to use to break down and give you guys the news and kind of, you know, draw our opinions and stuff. So thanks, Hagen. That's been awesome, and I very much appreciate it. Congrats on helping us with the page.
And everyone go to the Facebook and tag him and congratulate him.
And keeping the trolls off, because, like, there's been a couple instances now of trolls getting in there and trolling.
Oh, yeah,
and
don't post an open poll to the group. If you post a poll, put your options in, and then there's an option to make it so it's not open, because then people can put their own options in, and then people are posting things, and it makes me have to delete the poll. And a lot of times the poll questions are really good. They're like, oh, what deck of these five decks should I take this weekend? And then someone's like, troll options, and then I'm like, well, I have to delete this because this is offensive.
And also, I mean, I think it goes without saying, if you're actually listening to our podcast this late into the podcast, you're probably not the people we have to say this to, but stuff like advertising, you know, you're selling your cards or local tournaments in your city. It's like,
that's just not what the group's about. That I'm less worried about, because those are just, I mean, we'll delete those posts, FYI, but that has more to do with just that there are Facebook groups for that, and ours is not a centralized location. It's one of the reasons we've had trouble partnering with card stores in the past, is that, like, there's no reason for a card store, unless you're an online retailer. Our audience is everywhere, and we have people in Australia. Shout out to all the Australians.
Shout out to the Aussies.
Especially the ones who've done, like, higher Patreon things, and we can't ship them stuff because they're very far away, and it's, like, more expensive to ship them.
And the ones that play Chronozoa.
So thanks to everyone. Thanks, Hagen. Thanks, Jimmy and Josh, doing all the awesome content they do. Make sure to follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter, the MMcast, Ben Baby Media, Kes Wiley.
Instagram.
We do post there sometimes.
Yeah, I got a Halloween pumpkin that I made that is a black lotus that I'll be posting a picture of this week.
Very cool. And last but not least, guys, just one last reminder, 10 Minutes of Modern. You guys will get content every day if you check that out. So go ahead and download anchor.fm, find the station. And if you want to find past episodes, you can find it on podcast apps everywhere. Or there's a whole list of archived podcast episodes on the app, which I was bad about updating for a while. But I promise you, I've been better about recently, and I'll continue to do so. So thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.